So the biggest story in pro sports right now is what's going on in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Daryl Morey, who's a very, you know, well thought of GM, very successful GM down in Houston, very active on social media, sent out a tweet over the weekend in support of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And it's up there on TSN2 right now. Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. So the eyes of the world are on Hong Kong and
right.
and China and what's happening over there. But the NBA's made this very clear for years, and they're not alone. Every sports league around the world, China is a market they're trying to get into. Because
right.
there's so many people and there's so much money, and it's a burgeoning sports market, and the NBA's leading the charge there. And Morey immediately deleted the tweet and then didn't just backpedal. He turned around and started sprinting.
Right.
And the NBA issued a statement that I wouldn't say was overly supportive of freedom of speech. And someone who wrote a great piece on this up on SI.com, here is NBA analyst and writer Chris Mannix. I read your piece this morning, Chris. I mean, give us your impression of how this all played out over the weekend.
Well, I mean, it started off as something that was, you know, relatively innocuous. I mean, you know, Daryl Morey tweeting out, you know, something that a lot of Americans believe in and is actually kind of official U.S. policy, that Hong Kong be afforded the freedoms it negotiated back in 1997. But, you know, we're not, you know, it's a very complicated world that we live in. And, you know, the NBA obviously has a lot of tentacles in China right now. The Houston Rockets are one of, if not the most popular team in China because of the, you know, the Yao Ming experience that, you know, playing there. And it just became a just complete storm. It got out of control very quickly. The response from China was rapid. It was relatively severe with, you know, Tencent, the streaming service that has a monster deal with the NBA, saying it would, you know, not cover Daryl Morey, the Chinese Basketball Association, cutting ties with the Houston Rockets, condemnations coming all around. And it put the NBA in a very difficult position because they had to, you know, they couldn't criticize Daryl Morey's right to say whatever he wants, but they have a strong financial relationship with China and with businesses in China, which led to what you talked about, the statement, which was, I thought, was a very lukewarm statement, as you said. And here we are today. I mean, to emphasize just how crazy this has become, I mean, I don't get emails from the press office of U.S. senators that often. And my email inbox is full of stuff from guys like Ben Sasse and Chuck Schumer and several others, just with their statements about the NBA's decision not to fully support Daryl Morey's tweet. So this has become a monster, and we still haven't seen what could be the brunt of it, which could be either Donald Trump weighing in or LeBron James having something strong to say about the subject when the Lakers hit China.
Well, I've said this throughout the afternoon. I don't believe that LeBron has any obligation to say anything about this issue. I know he's been outspoken about issues in the past, but a lot of them were about him, his community, the American society. Do you believe LeBron has an obligation to speak on it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, nobody's required to say anything. I think it's commendable that LeBron has taken up so many social causes over the course of his career because, in a way, he is like a human starter pistol. I mean, when he says or does something, it has to be covered on a national level, and it sparks the debate and changes the conversation to a degree. But he's not obligated to do it. What I would hope, you know, the James Harden comment, I kind of cringed a little bit. I don't think that Daryl Morey or the Rockets or James Harden owes anybody an apology. I mean, remember, it is U.S. policy that the U.S. supports Hong Kong's right to its measure of independence. And I don't think that, you know, Harden should be apologizing for anyone. I think that's almost, I think he should have been coached a little bit more. I mean, I think the stock answer the NBA probably hopes for is that LeBron says, I don't really have a position on it. I just hope things can get resolved peacefully. If he says that, I think that's, you know, a way to calm things down. If he goes the other way and says something strong in support of the people of Hong Kong, I think this could become just a monster story. But you do have to remember, you know, one of the reasons I think James Harden said what he said and other players will say what they say, China's a big market for them, sneakers. I mean, they sell sneakers there and a lot of them. Every player I know of, top player, makes a trip to China in the off season. So I don't expect LeBron to have anything incendiary to say that might alienate the Chinese market.
So basically what you're saying is it's flat out about money. I mean, it sounds to me that market is pumped so much money, or it's an uncharted, not uncharted, but there's so much money coming out of there. They don't want to ruffle any feathers because that money source or stream will go away.
That is quite literally exactly what it's about. I mean, and Adam Silver, you know, I talked to several NBA governors of their teams and general managers of certain teams, and the message was largely clear. I mean, Adam Silver is about the bag. He's about the money. You know, he's a very progressive commissioner. He has done incredible things in terms of, you know, pushing to get women on coaching staffs and being more inclusive and certainly supporting a lot of different areas of social change. But he is first and foremost about the money and getting those owners and making the NBA as valuable as it can be. And China, I mean, it's still a little murky about how much money comes in from China, but the deal with Tencent was worth reportedly $500 million over 5 years, probably more. We saw reports that NBA China is valued at $4 billion. The NBA takes a lot of victory laps with, you know, the 300 million people play basketball in China, 500 million people watch NBA basketball in China. It is a significant source of revenue for the NBA, and I don't think you're going to do anything to mess that up.
Doesn't that seem quite hypocritical, though, if you really show your true colors that it's about cash, but everyone else, there's so many players that come out and speak about social injustice in North America, and they go after Trump, and they go after things that they really wholeheartedly believe in, but in a market where they're making a lot of money, well, we better just pull the reins back here a little bit.
It's hypocritical only because of what they've done. I mean, as I wrote in my story, you know, back in 2016, when they pulled that All-Star game away from Charlotte because the North Carolina bathroom law was something they strongly disagreed with, they kind of set a precedent there that this was, you know, this was their position. If there was some social injustice that was happening, they would use their power to, you know, take something like the All-Star game away from them. And I mean, look, the transgender bill that was passed in North Carolina is the equivalent of a parking ticket compared to some of the stuff that goes on over in China that is reported on a daily basis. I mean, there's some ugliness, a lot of ugliness that goes on when it comes to human rights over there. So it's a tough, you know, needle for the NBA to thread to kind of talk their way out of this one, given what they've already said. And to your point about what players and coaches say about Donald Trump, I think it's fair because, you know, the first line in that NBA statement was, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm paraphrasing a little, was it's regrettable that, you know, they've caused that, you know, these comments, you know, negatively affected the people in China. Well, you don't hear the NBA kind of apologizing to conservatives for, you know, Donald Trump bashing that goes on a regular basis. Not to say that I'm not taking a position on whether they're right or wrong, but
right, it's free speech.
Large faction of the country that supports Donald Trump. And, you know, the NBA doesn't apologize to them for their players going after the president. So it is kind of a double standard that's in place here that the NBA is going to have to find a way to tactfully talk their way out of.
With Chris Mannix, well, that's it. I mean, it's not about whether or not you agree or disagree. It's the fact that every American, every Canadian, you have the right to express yourself. And we all know the lines. If it's racial, if it's homophobic, if it goes beyond the lines of indecency, then clearly you're going to pay a price. But I got to believe Adam Silver. Do you think he's reached out to LeBron? You think he's had a conversation with LeBron James?
I don't know. My guess would be that he wouldn't reach out unless LeBron and his team reached out to them to see how they wanted to handle it. Remember, LeBron's going to have some people in his ear as well from Nike, which has a strong presence in China, that are probably going to have some advice on what to say. But one thing about LeBron is that he's always been kind of an independent thinker, and if he decides he wants to go in a certain direction, he's going to go in that direction. I mean, one thing to kind of put a button on sort of the NBA values and what they did, if they didn't do what they did in North Carolina or take some of the positions they had, I really wouldn't be bothered all that much by them doing business in China. I mean, you can't start, you know, boycotting businesses that do business in places that are unsavory. That's just too slippery a slope to step on. There are too many countries in this world that do not live up to the so-called American or North American values that we kind of live by. So, but the NBA, the fact that they've kind of waded into these waters, that's what makes it most problematic. If they just said, you know, we're a business, we're going to go to North Carolina, we're not going to, you know, wade in too deep on social issues, I don't think the backlash would be anywhere near what it is right now.
What's your understanding on how close Daryl Morey came to being fired?
I don't think he came very close. You know, I had one executive say to me, he wondered if Daryl wanted to get fired. You know, said to me, he said, you know, looking at this team and the Mike D'Antoni situation down there, I mean, maybe he thought this might be a way to dig it out. I don't believe that either. And, you know, I haven't talked to Daryl, but I'd love to know what his motivations were in that moment to send a tweet like that. I mean, Daryl's an extremely smart guy and has been around the Rockets for a long time, so he knows how they resonate in China. I just would be curious to know what was going through his mind in that moment. But I don't think that the Rockets were close to firing him. And the NBA, in no way, shape, or form, would ever be able to advocate for the Rockets to do that. I mean, they would just get crucified for going after a general manager for saying something that, again, is official U.S. policy, is something that the United States is for when it comes to the rights of Hong Kong.
With Chris Mannix, before we get you out of here, we'd be remiss not to ask you about the Kyle Lowry news. Lowry gets a one-year extension, $31 million. Makes a lot of sense from my perspective, from the Raptors, and certainly from Kyle's perspective. How do you feel about this deal?
Makes a ton of sense. You know, first, Kyle deserves it. You know, what he did last playoff run, playing with a busted thumb, gutting it out, winning games. I mean, he was, you know, Kawhi gets a ton of credit, but Kyle Lowry, and Masai Ujiri were one of the first to tell you this, how he transformed himself after kind of mid-February and took a leadership role, a stronger leadership role with that team, invaluable. No question to what they did in the playoffs. And look, there are certainly going to be some discussions about change in Toronto. I mean, I'm not sure what their plan is, you know, going up to the trade deadline in February, but they do have some expiring contracts. Maybe they want to see how Siakam and Lowry play together as kind of the one and two guys on that team. But giving Kyle a one-year extension, even at that number, it doesn't hamstring you for the future. He's theoretically still tradable in February with a year and a half left on that contract, if that's a way they want to go. You reward a guy that's done, you know, is arguably, you know, the best Raptor in history, and you don't put yourself in a tough position long-term doing it.
Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate the insight, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, guys.
There's Chris Mannix, senior writer for Sports Illustrated.
That's good insight.